After hours here on 96.5, The Fan, Logan Weber here with you. Chris Unocero is my producer and co-pilot over the next 3 hours. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Yes, we are going to talk about the delay on the sports betting bill that was passed last April or last November that is now being put on hold, at least for the time being. We'll talk Royals spring training. They had a tie today against the A's, 1-1. We'll talk a little NFL. We'll talk some college basketball, some news out of there today, some top 25 news as well. So a lot to get to on tonight's program. Coming up at 6:30, I'm not going to do a lot of in-depth Royals conversation here to kick off the show, because at 6:30, we'll be joined by Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. He is out in Arizona right now covering the Royals at spring training. So he will be joining us here in about a half hour to talk about today's game, what he's seen over the last week or so as games have gotten underway, and even prior to that, including what we all had a chance to observe on Sunday, and that was a glimpse into what could be the near future, maybe not this season, but maybe opening day of next year. Jack Caglione getting himself involved in Royals spring training fairly early. But I want to kick off today's program with that story that I mentioned at the outset here, and that is this sports betting bill in Missouri. It was, of course, passed last November. The voters in Missouri did approve this, the majority of which did approve it. And now, Monday morning, this morning, the commission there, Missouri Secretary of State, rejected the emergency licensing rules, which I find fascinating in some respects. Denny Hoskins, who is the Secretary of State here in the state of Missouri and has long been an opponent of sports gambling, sports betting, sports wagering, whatever you want to call it, he has long been an opponent to this proposal, has denied these emergency licensing rules, which is going directly against Mike Kehoe, who is the governor of the state of Missouri. He is the head, he is the top politician or political figure in the same party as Denny Hoskins, as they are both Republicans here in the state of Missouri. So going directly against the governor of the state, of which you are of the same political affiliation, I find very, very interesting in some respects. So because the emergency rules has been taken away at this point, it's now going to be pushed back. Now, I will say that there is a constitutional requirement here now in the state of Missouri. Because this bill passed last November, it is constitutionally required to take legal effect on December 1st of 2025. So December 1st of this year is the absolute bottom date, final deadline of this thing. So that is how this is supposed to file. Now, the proposed licensing rules that were filed at the same time will become effective August 30th of 2025. So that is where the commission is continuing to proceed, is with these rules going to affect August 30th, which would mean you could make legalized sports betting in Missouri for football season, when the college football season rolls around, or at least the very, towards the beginning of college football season and, of course, the NFL season. But it seems incredibly unlikely that you will be able to do any sort of sports wagering here in Missouri during the spring and summer months of baseball here. So if you're a Royals fan or a Cardinals fan, and we're looking to put a little bit of money down on a Bobby Witt Jr. anytime stolen base, or you are taking the Cardinals money line in a matchup against the Brewers or something, doesn't sound like you're going to be able to get that one done. 913-586-7965 is our number if you'd like to chime in. We already have one person who is none too happy with the decision by Denny Hoskins. He said he called his office 36 times today. Now, I will give you a great deal of credit for your level of commitment. I am concerned. Now, you may not be, but I might be slightly concerned that you have a gambling problem. I'm just messing. I'm just kidding around. I understand, for a lot of us, and I know there's different things you can do, like Underdog Fantasy is one that a lot of people use here in the state of Missouri. And I know, those of us here in the metro, not saying that you should or shouldn't do it, but I know plenty of people living on the Missouri side who just drive themselves over to the Kansas side. I knew plenty of people going to college at Northwest Missouri State, you know, up in Maryville, which is about, I don't know, 45, 50 minutes south of the Iowa border. I knew plenty of people who would just drive up to Iowa and do their sports betting there. Or when I was down in Springfield, of course, just a few months ago before I moved back up here, I knew plenty of people that would drive down to Oklahoma, where they would not only go to the casinos and things like that that were on Indian reservations, but they would also do sports betting down there. And that's the concern I think we all have here in the state of Missouri, is that for the most part, sports betting isn't going to, it's not that these people just aren't going to do sports betting. I mean, that's the problem that I have with this, is you're just denying money of this magnitude being spent inside the state of Missouri, right? If you live in Kansas City, Missouri, you just drive over to Kansas and bet, because all your phone needs is location services. And as soon as you're in a Kansas location and you're pinging off a Kansas tower, you can do it on your phone. Same thing if you're driving up to Iowa, or if you're living in the St. Louis market and you drive east over to Illinois, then you can do it there. If you're down in the southwest part of the state of Missouri, all you do is drive down to Oklahoma and you can do it. In fact, I don't know this off the top of my head, but doesn't Arkansas have sports betting? I don't know that for certain. Yeah, sports betting in Arkansas has been legal since 2018. So even if you're down in say, the Boot Heel, you could drive down to Arkansas and bet on sports. So it seems like every state that surrounds, borders, or butts up against the state of Missouri has legalized sports betting in some capacity. And a great deal of the state of Missouri, outside of Columbia, Jefferson City, a great deal of the population of this state, of the state of Missouri, lives along those border those border places, Kansas City, St. Louis, Springfield, even like the Hannibal, Missouri area, Cape Girardeau, right down in the Boot Heel. A lot of the state's population butts around the borders of Missouri. So they're going to be driving 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour if they want to go do that. I can't imagine why we continue to argue over this. And the fact that the voters in the state of Missouri passed this. That's what frustrates me more than anything else, is that you are now taking something away from the will of the people of the state of Missouri. But then we get into the nitty gritty of political conversation, and I absolutely do not want to have that. But again, Denny Hoskins, the Secretary of State in the state of Missouri, has rejected emergency licensing rules, pushing back the deadline for sports betting. Now the Gaming Commission in Missouri is hoping to kick things off effective August 31st of 2025. Barring another setback, the final date, the constitutionally required start date for sports betting to be legalized in Missouri, can be no later than December 1st of 2025. So I believe it will still happen. The problem is that we continue to see pushback despite this being the vote that was put forward by the citizens of the state of Missouri. And that's where I give you Kansans a great deal of credit for you know, some of the things that have happened over on this side of the metro. Somebody said, did he give a reason why he denied it? I haven't seen one, but he has been very outspoken about this for several years. Back in 2022, when he was a state senator in Missouri, he led an incredibly long filibuster about video lottery terminals that were taking in sports betting legislation, and killed pretty much any bill that had anything to do with that at that point. So just sounds like a guy who has not been a proponent of this sort of thing in any stretch of the imagination. Again, 913-586-7965. Arkansas sports betting is in person only. Okay, I was not aware of that. I have never done sports betting in the state of Arkansas. I knew that they had it legalized in some capacity, but betting in person makes a little bit more sense in terms of that. 913 says, FYI, Oklahoma does not allow sports gambling. Really? I thought that they had. Now, maybe it was just people that I knew that would drive down to Oklahoma to go down to the casinos, but I thought that they had No, you're right. The governor of Oklahoma just introduced that he would put together a sports betting plan, but you are exactly right. Sports betting as of now is not legal in the state of Oklahoma. So maybe Oklahoma's the only one, the only surrounding border state in Missouri that does not allow sports betting of some capacity. Wow. I hope a piano falls on Denny Hoskins' head. That courtesy of a listener on the text line. That is a is that a Roadrunner sort of thing? Wile E. Coyote kind of hope for? That's kind of wild. Somebody says so stupid. All right, yeah. I don't agree with it. No doubt about it. Someone said, this is my first time tuning into the show since the Super Bowl, LOL. I think I'm ready to hear about sports again. Well, glad to have you back. Appreciate you tuning in. It was a rough stretch there, I have to say. I can't say I entirely blame you. Another person, another 816 says, dude has been against gambling in the state since the beginning. In fact, at one point, he was the only one stopping the bill from even going to a vote. Yeah, I mean, he's long been of this opinion, so it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone necessarily, but it is incredibly surprising considering, you know, the governor of the state, of which he has the same political affiliation, has said this was the will of the people of Missouri and this is what they want. And he was a very strong proponent of these emergency rules being put in place so that they could begin sports betting as soon as they possibly could here or in the state of Missouri. Just hasn't happened as of yet. So that was kind of the story I wanted to lead with on tonight's program. We did have Royals baseball today, game four of the spring training slate for Kansas City. And it was a 1-1 tie for the Yalls taking on the A's. It's wild to look at the box score on Twitter and just see Athletics next to their name. It no longer says Oakland. It doesn't say a town of any kind. It just says Athletics against Kansas City Royals. It was a 1-1 finish in the game. Kevon Biggio, how about it? A 2-for-3 game, a homer in this one. He was the only offense for the Kansas City Royals in this game. Freddie Fermin had a base knock. Pineda finished with a base knock as well. And I believe it's Groshans is how you pronounce that last name. I may be pronouncing it incorrectly. I apologize. Jordan Groshans, 25-year-old third baseman. He also had a knock. But the Royals pitching continues to impress. Cole Reagans got the start, went two full. He gave up two hits, walked one, struck out two. For the game, Royals pitchers struck out 11 and gave up just six hits. So Royals pitching continues to perform very, very well. Outside of maybe that game against the Dodgers, in which the hitting was very much up to the task, it's been an impressive start for the Kansas City Royals. And that has become somewhat of a trend for the Royals. I don't know why in the last 5 or 6 years where they've performed really, really well in spring training. And while it all hasn't always led itself to a great deal of success during the regular season, it definitely did during last year's season. So we'll see if they can continue along those lines. But there is some more that I want to get to here in terms of the Royals spring training, some guys who are performing pretty well right now on top of some guys who are maybe struggling. And one of those players who's struggling at the moment, you have to hope that it's not a sign of things to come, as in my view, this is a make or break year for that individual. And we'll talk about that one a little bit more here in just a couple of minutes. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber alongside my producer for tonight's program, Chris Unocero. Coming up in about 15 minutes here, we're going to be visiting with Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. He is out in Surprise, Arizona, covering the Royals at spring training after a 1-1 draw today in their fourth spring training game of the year. So they remain undefeated by all intents and purposes. They're now 3-0-1 on the year as their string of spring training successes over the years continue. We led the show tonight talking about the sports betting bill that was passed in November over in the state of Missouri that has been delayed courtesy of Secretary of State Denny Hoskins, who denied or rejected the Gaming Commission's emergency rules that were intended to allow for license applications to begin coming through and be accepted and or denied to try to get things going a little bit earlier than was the initial intention. And a lot of you guys have been reacting to that. 913-586-7965. Someone asked, what is this guy's position? How can he just deny this? So Denny Hoskins is the Secretary of State in Missouri. And with that, his position deems it necessary that agencies in the state of Missouri, including an agency such as the Missouri Gambling Commission, they must write rules that will be implemented as state laws. When they write those rules, they are then submitted to the Secretary of State's office for further publication in the Missouri Registry. So they get sent to him after they're written, and he decides whether they will be published and or not published, or if further clarification needs to be made. And he decided it should not be published. And with an emergency rule, as soon as it's published, it takes effect rather immediately. Other rules need to go through comment and a revision process, but an emergency rule does not require any other sort of revision to it whatsoever. So he denied the rule. An explanation, he gave a statement Monday afternoon saying that the constitutional deadline of December 1st can be achieved without emergency rules, which is correct. It's going to be a little bit harder now. The problem is that they didn't want to wait until December 1st. With baseball season about to start here in the next month, you know, sports betting can be a huge boon during Major League Baseball season. They certainly want to try to get this thing started before the NFL and college football seasons begin, because that's a very popular time for sports betting. You get to December 1st and you've got a little bit of the NFL left, a little bit of college football left, college basketball and the NBA is beginning to get started. But how big is an NBA sports betting market in the state of Missouri? Seems pretty minute to me. So I can understand the need for or the desire for emergency rules of this kind. Somebody else in the chat and the text line says, we voted on the gambling rules. There was no reason to skip steps as an emergency. What steps were they trying to skip? There's no need to rush it. As far as I understand, I don't believe they were trying to skip any steps. I think they were trying to expedite the process to get through the steps quicker, I guess is how I would describe it. So that way they could start to earn revenue off of their sports betting here in 2025 rather than waiting until December 1st. As far as I understand, all it was about trying to speed up the process rather than trying to skip over things in the process. At least that's the way that I read the article and the stories that have since come out in this report.
I mean, this whole thing just seems like it's unnecessary. It's like, why are we trying to take all the way until early December to get this done? Like that part to me just doesn't make any sense here. Like I don't understand all of the things that they have to go through in order to ensure that they're being compliant with like government standards and whatnot. Cause the government does, the federal government does heavily regulate gambling because, you know, for obvious reasons, it's something that could be financially destructive for a lot of people. And on top of that, it's something that can contribute to a lot of issues that people have in their lives in general, regardless of the financial ramifications. And, you know, a lot of people have torn their families up because of gambling.
That's fair.
So it's like, I get it. And especially like these leagues they're very, very sensitive when it comes to sports betting in general, because this is a big money making enterprise, and they know the government's going to be breathing down their necks with how they're going to cover this. So I get their hesitance to try to rush into it, but it's like, how long does it take you to prepare for this? I mean, you got all these states around you that have done it. It's like, you can't talk to one of them and see how you can expedite the process a little bit. Like, what are we doing here? Like, how does this take this long to get this set up?
Yeah. And according to one of the folks that was, maybe a part of the commission or was in some way affiliated with trying to get these emergency actions or emergency rules put in place, was the primary motivation was that they could start the vetting process and not be rushed into making decisions about licensing for different institutions, right? For big institutions like FanDuel and DraftKings and some of these massive online, you know, betting platforms, that would be fairly easy. But
it'll take you that long.
Yeah,
to vet,
I wouldn't imagine. But for other ones, right, a casino here or there, right, the Ameristar here in the metro area or places like that, the vetting process may take a little bit longer. Or if, you know, one of these major league base or major league professional organizations here in Missouri or in the state of Missouri wants to get something on the books with somebody as a partner or as in a direct affiliate or a sponsor, what have you, they would have to go through this application process as well. And so the emergency rules would have, I think, given them a little bit more leeway to not have to rush a decision and say, okay, instead of having 2 weeks to decide or 3 weeks to decide if these people deserve a license or not, you now have 2 or 3 months to make that decision. And it makes everybody's life a little bit easier.
I mean, Kansas has, what, 6 books that they allow there right now? I mean, is the vetting process that hard?
I personally have no idea.
I don't speak from a point of experience as far as vetting these books go, but I'm sure you could talk to other states and you could see how they went through their vetting process, because again, you've got all these other states around you that allow it. I'm sure you could share information. It's not something where they're withholding that information from you and you can't kind of see what they're doing to get past that vetting process. I guarantee you these politicians talk to people in other states to kind of figure out, okay, how we're going to go about this.
Right.
It seems like you've got people holding it up because they're mad that they didn't get what they want. That's what it seems like to me.
According to this report from the Missouri Independent, the licensing process is complex because online bookmakers, casino companies, and all of these major sports franchises, including the Cardinals, the Royals, and the Chiefs, as well as others, all have to undergo licensing investigations, as do the vendors that supply the bookmakers and all of the employees who then work at these retail sports wager sites. So, it can be a long process. Somebody mentioned that Ohio legalized their sports betting within 5 or 6 months. And
yeah,
this is going to take a lot longer than 5 or 6 months, apparently.
I don't recall when it got passed in Kansas, but I don't think it was a 13-month process like they're talking about for Missouri.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's because there are some, including apparently Denny Hoskins, who want to delay this thing as long as is legally possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, to me, this whole thing just seems like it's people playing politics.
Yeah.
And when the people vote for something and then you're trying to hold it up because you got an axe to grind because you didn't get what you want, to me, that's the part that I don't like. Like, the people voted on this thing. And if they voted and they said, hey, we want this, then it is your job to execute that. And I don't think that they're doing their part.
It's an interesting one. With that in mind, somebody made a comment about the Chiefs and Royals going to Kansas, and I want to have a conversation about that a little bit later on, because it's the reports that we're getting are massively contradictory in nature. You know, you've got people saying, oh, I'm hearing it on good authority that they're going to Kansas. And I've got you hear from other people. No, they're going to stay in Missouri. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. But coming up, we are going to be talking Royals spring training baseball and what some of the expectations for this season can, could, or should be with Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. He'll be joining us next right here on After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Another solid start to spring training baseball for the Kansas City Royals. 3-0. Over the first 3 games, and then a 1-1 tie against the Athletics today. I keep wanting to say Oakland Athletics, but that's not the case anymore. They're just the Athletics now. No team or city affiliation with their team whatsoever nowadays. But we've got a special guest on the line with us right now to talk about the start to spring training for the Kansas City Royals. Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star is on the line with us right now. Jalen, I understand are you down in Arizona right now covering the team?
That's right. I'm here in Arizona. It's about 80 degrees outside, you know, very unique compared to Kansas City, where it was just snowing like 2 days ago.
Yeah, if this would have been Friday or Saturday, those might have been fighting words. But we got blessed with like mid-60s today, so I'll allow the weather comments to slide by the wayside for the moment. But I kind of want to get your instant reaction to today's ball game first, a 1-1 tie, pitching for the Royals. You know, three of these four games has been very, very impressive, kind of top to bottom. Take us through what you saw today at the ballpark.
Yeah, the Royals, they got a lot of the guys, a lot of NRIs, non-roster invites in the game today, just to see how they would perform. But we did have Cole Reagans be on the mound. So it was his first start of the spring. He looked pretty good. He threw two innings. And, you know, for him, it was all about getting his arm built back up, getting prepared for what's the season ahead to come. You know, he's a guy they're going to be counting on a lot this year. We saw he finished fourth in the Cy Young voting in 2024. So it's a lot of ways for him to go up from here. So he got his first belt, start earning the belt in Cactus League play, and he's ready to go from there.
It seemed like he got off to a fast start. You know, you look at his fastball numbers in this one, hitting 97, 98 with some regularity. He seems to be already off to a hot start, at least in terms of his velocity on that fastball already this season.
Yeah. He mentioned that was a focus of his today, and really throughout the offseason, continuing to maintain that velocity. Helps with his command. It helps him stay in the zone. And we know what he can do with his secondary pitches as well. So for him, it's going to be just continuing to pound the zone early and getting those favorable counts, because when he's in those favorable counts, he's a tough pitcher to kind of compete against and also try to hit.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned a lot of non-roster invite guys that were in the lineup today or were pinch hitters at points in this game. Kevon Biggio had a big day today, 2-for-3. He scored the only run of the game for Kansas City on a solo homer. He's a guy that I'm not sure many are thinking much of, at least as a guy on that 25-man roster to begin this season. What did you make of his performance today, and what have you seen from him throughout spring training so far?
Yeah, Kevon Biggio, it took me a minute to learn it was Kevin.
Interesting.
Well, I like everyone else. But Kevin, he's a guy where the Royals really like what he can bring to the table. He's versatile. He's someone that, as you saw, he played first base today. He can play all over the field. He's a left-handed hitting infielder. And the Royals mentioned that they want to find a versatile defender that can hit as a left-hander this offseason. And he's a guy that they kind of brought in to fill that type of role. He's a super utility guy. He's kind of competing with Harold Castro, who can also do the same thing in that super utility role, Nick Lofton as well. The Royals have a lot of decisions that they want to make moving into later on in the spring, of whether they want to keep a guy that can play a super utility role. A lot of it's going to depend on how they look at the outfield with Jonathan India and Michael Massey in left field. So getting a guy like Kevon Biggio in here that has MLB experience, was finished fifth in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2019. He's someone that, if he can turn it around, he knows how to go out there and play baseball. So that's something that they like about him.
Another guy that I think has been kind of impressive here at spring training thus far has been Carter Jensen. Had a couple of big knocks earlier in the weekend. Today he pinch hits and he gets a stolen base, a couple of walks drawn in this game. He's done a little bit of everything here to get things kicked off for the Royals in spring training at just 21 years old.
Yeah, Carter Jensen is a guy that, local KC kid. He's always been around the program. He's always been on the radar for a long time. I remember. He came after the minor league season at the end of last year, and he participated in BP at Kauffman Stadium. He's someone that the Royals really, really like. He has the power element. He has the ability to really grow and develop as a catcher in their system. And what makes Carter Jensen really great, and as far as what coaches really are impressed about with him, is his ability to learn, his ability to listen and get better. He works a lot with fellow Royals first-round pick Jack Caglione. I'm sure we'll get to him in a minute, but they are great friends. They love to just be around each other. They ask each other questions. They bounce ideas off of each other. They play together in the Arizona Fall League. So, yeah, both of those guys really are looking to take the next step. And for Carter to hit that home run yesterday, it's a big thing for him and his confidence.
Yeah, and you mentioned the other guy on the other side of that coin, and that is Jack Caglione. We got a chance to see him for the first time over the weekend. He hits a absolute moonshot, a 435-foot bomb to right field earlier this week. I know that people are incredibly excited about him. He's the number six prospect in baseball. They have every right to be excited. But would you agree that maybe we should tamper down the expectations about him potentially being a part of this roster at any point this season? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that we got to recognize, and a lot of fans have to know that this is his first full year in professional baseball. He played 3 years at Florida, and the numbers are great. Everyone sees the power, and it's easy to get caught up in the emotions of wanting to see him make his debut early. But you got to give him time to develop. You got to give him time to learn the game. A lot of about playing in the Major League Baseball is adjusting the pitchers and adjusting to things that you see. Caglione said it best. He's playing at 100 miles per hour right now. And the world's coaches and everyone is trying to get him to, you know, compartmentalize, slow it down, think through the game, you know, focus on one zone and wait for your pitch. Because when you can do that, then you are able to, you know, drive the ball more and it really make an impact for your team. But for him, It's easy to get excited. He's a first-round pick. He's seen the home run, you know, 115.4 exit velocity on his home run yesterday, 435 feet. I mean, it's cool. It's exciting. Everybody wants to see that. But I think for him, it's going to be a matter of waiting till 2025, let him get a full year in the minor leagues, and then go from there. And then it could be 2026, depending on how he performs. But I think that he's a guy that you have to really just let him grow into his MLB preparedness and in the minor leagues so he can get there to be where everything you want him to be.
His timetable is going to be one of great interest to Royals fans, certainly. I'm curious from your perspective as somebody who's covered this team for a couple of years on a day-to-day basis, what is his position at the major league level going to look like? There's a lot of conversation about that right now with Vinny Pasquantino at first base. Do the Royals move on from Vinny, or do they make him a DH, or does Jack go to potentially, you know, a left or right field sort of position so that you can have the possibility of both of them out there in the field day to day here in a year or two?
Yeah, I think if you really look at what the Royals kind of want to do with Jack Caglione, they have Vinny Pasquantino at first base, and he's a big part of their future, their current and their future. So they want to keep him at that position. So when you look at Caglione, it might have to be something where he does go out and maybe learn the outfield. Maybe he gets an opportunity to operate in there in the minor leagues and see how he takes to that. The most important thing, though, is when you have a guy that can hit like he can, a manager will tell you that you just want the bat in the lineup. You'll figure out everything else after that. So if the Royals see that Caglione is progressing well and he's hitting minor league pitching the way that they probably expect him to or want him to, then they will make that decision as far as where does he play. Because there's certain ways you can get it done. You could put him at DH. You can move maybe Salvi and Vinny could it down the line work as a DH. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do it. But for right now, they just want the kid to go through the minor league system and continue his career. But they do have all options on the table as far as him potentially working in the outfield, if that's something he learns in the minor leagues, or, you know, other ways to make the team better.
We talk a lot about spring training, and rightfully so, but there's always that thought of, okay, let's not overreact or underreact to anything that we're seeing here, talking about how Caglione has performed in Carter Jensen, and that's all well and good, although they may not be ready. Another sort of, you know, try to tamper down an overreaction would be the struggles for MJ Melendez to kick off this spring training, right? He's only gotten 6 plate appearances, 5 at-bats, but he's 0 for 5, and he's got 4 strikeouts in those 5 at-bats. What do you make of the start of this season for him as a guy who had a lot of following going into this season? He had the change in his batting stance and his swing. Seems like he's gotten off to a bit of a slow start here in what could be a make or break year for MJ Melendez.
Yeah, you got to tailor the expectations of him just jumping out and setting the world on fire in spring training. He's, like you said, he's only had five at-bats. So he can easily turn around. A lot of these guys, they just need to get their timing down. And once you get your timing down, then now you'll see them get stronger and more proficient as spring training comes along. That's why they play so many games in the Grapefruit and Cactus League. A lot of it's for the pitchers to get their timing and build up, but it's also for hitters to get their timing down, too. MJ Melendez worked extremely hard in wanting to simplify his swing and be able to make the necessary changes to be a successful player. I talked to him, and he said, I didn't play well last season. He knows that he had to get better. He had to perform the way that the Royals needs to perform to contribute, because he's the type of bat that if he's going, and we've seen it in flashes, Boston Red Sox to be an example, if he can bottle all that up and be more consistent, they have something in him. And it's not too long ago they hit 40 home runs in the minor leagues. So if he can get back to that form, then maybe he can be that middle-of-the-order bat that they so desperately look for this offseason. But it's going to be on him to make those adjustments and continue to make those adjustments, because the game of baseball is never quite figured out. You make an adjustment, the pitcher makes an adjustment to you, and it's just a game of that. But he has a lot of skill sets that the Royals like and they covet, so it's going to be on him to put it all together.
Visiting with Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star here. Jalen, we're going to take a break here. Do you mind holding on for a few more minutes here?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We'll be right back here on After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero visiting with Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. That conversation continues when we come back. This is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Talking Kansas City Royals spring training baseball here tonight on After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero. And on the line with us right now is Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. We've been talking a lot about the position players on this Royals team to begin the year, but I want to kind of change things over onto the pitching side really quickly. A lot has been made of who that number five starter is going to be. We've heard from Matt Quatrero. We've heard from J.J. Piccolo about the thought process of Chris Bubich being that number five starter. Jalen, you've been down in Arizona covering this team throughout spring training. Would you agree that that's probably the common sentiment around the clubhouse right now, is that Bubich is going to be that number five starter? And if so, what have you seen from his performance so far?
Yeah, I would say that Bubich is definitely a front runner for that number five starter. But there's a lot that can still be determined. You have Alec Marsh that's still building up. He's going to be in the mix. Right now he's dealing with a right shoulder tightness and soreness, but he just threw a bullpen today and he's working his way back to form. You got to look at Kyle Wright, was another guy that is still in the mix as well. He dealt with a hamstring injury, and you know, he's coming back from right shoulder surgery himself. So both of those guys are ones to kind of watch as they move forward, as far as who's going to be in that fifth star spot to compete alongside Chris Bubich. But the Royals, they made it a point to make Bubich a starter this offseason after he pitched so well out of the bullpen. So they know what he can do. They know what type of ability he can do. And he was in the starting rotation before he got injured with Tommy John surgery in the 2023 season. So there's definitely the mentality that he has to be a starter is there, and he's worked and he's built that up this offseason. So it's not a surprise to see him thriving right now as he works to push for that fifth starter spot.
So we've seen Bubich pitch, we've seen Reagan's pitch, so seemingly we've seen the probable one and five starters in this rotation. We haven't seen the trio of Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, or Michael Lorenzen. And, you know, there has been conversation during the offseason, especially with Lugo and Wacha, the fear of a possible regression with those two guys who are now a year older. They're deeper into their 30s than they were last season. What have you seen from those two guys ever since pitchers and catchers reported and how they've performed here outside of an actual spring training game to begin the season?
Yeah, I think for Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, they are vets for a reason, and they know how to take care of their body, and they know how to, you know, get themselves ready for when the regular season comes together. The Royals, they make no qualms about it. They know that they need multiple pitchers built up, because last year they were remarkably healthy. They had a lot of guys that made over 25 starts, you know. So that's not always going to be the case moving forward. You're going to have guys that are going to get hurt. There's going to be injuries here and there. That's just the nature of baseball and playing 162 games. So when you look at Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, the key for them is just to keep their bodies healthy, keep their bodies right, and be prepared for when the season kicks off on March 27th against the Cleveland Guardians at Kauffman Stadium. But for them, they're getting their bullpens in, they're getting their arms built up, and you'll see them get more and more into game action. And as the category play goes on, you've seen them in live BPs. They look great. They look strong. They look well. So I think that for the Royals, it's just about keeping them healthy and getting them to the starting line. You get them to the starting line, then you allow them to do their thing and they go off, you know?
And, you know, talking about keeping guys healthy, Michael Lorenzen, who, of course, was a trade deadline acquisition by the Royals from the Rangers, and got off to a hot start when he arrived in Kansas City. And then ultimately the injury bug became a factor, and it wound up with him being kind of left off of the rotation for the Royals in the postseason. What have you seen from him so far as spring training has gotten underway through bullpen sessions and whatnot, as he tries to get himself ready to go after missing a good chunk of last year with the Royals because of that injury?
Yeah, with Michael Lorenzen, you know, he's working his way back. There was a flu bug that went around the clubhouse, and, you know, he was one of the guys that had gotten sick. So he's getting himself back, getting back up to speed, getting back, you know, into game action again, you know. And with Lorenzen, he's a guy that the Royals really believe in, that they want to bring back. You look at what he did in those five or six games that he appeared with the Royals. He had a 1.57 ERA. He was someone that really, really impressed the front office and the coaching staff with his ability to just pitch wherever he's needed. And this year, the Royals are going to start with him in the rotation as that number four. And for him, it's all about, you know, regaining the same form that he had in 2024 and helping the Royals kind of stabilize the back end of that starting rotation. We know what the first three can do with Reagan, Lugo, and Wacha. And if Lorenzen can pitch the same way he's pitched when he came over to Kansas City, that's a fearsome four that you have in that starting rotation. And you'll need that when you are playing against American League teams, especially in that AL Central, where you have the Detroit Tigers, the Cleveland Guardians, the Minnesota Twins. They're all going to be competing for that AL Central crown. And then I can't leave out the White Sox. They're rebuilding too, but they can be a tough out as well if they get that thing turned around.
Final question I've got for you, Jalen, is the interesting dynamic of spring training down in Arizona this year for the Royals, right? Last year, you're coming off of a 106 loss season. Expectations are at a real low for this organization. And you go out and you win 86 games and you kind of shock everybody. You win a first round series in the wild card and you take the Yankees to a game four in the ALDS. What is the feeling for you around the clubhouse down in Arizona right now with this team, knowing what they accomplished that last year and where the expectation has differed from last season to this season down there in Arizona?
Yeah, with the Royals, they know now that they can compete with the other teams in the American League and the other teams in Major League Baseball. You look at last season, there was a lot of optimism that we can be a team that can push for playoff contention. But when you go through that mix of the regular season and you play deep into October and you see what it takes to get to that next level, that's where the Royals are now. Vinny Pasquantino said it best. He says that we got a taste of it last year. Now we want to get more of that taste. Salvador Perez, he says, if you are playing this game of baseball and your mindset is not to get to the World Series, what are you doing it for? You know, that's the mentality. Bobby Wood Jr., the goal is to control eat what they can control every single day. That's how they're thinking. That's how they're wired. You can tell in how they compete for every drill. You can tell for how they compete on the field. There was a in the games that they won, they came back from being down late, and that was with non-roster guys, minor league guys in the lineup, and things of that nature. The competitiveness is sprinkled down throughout the entire organization, and they believe that if they can get off to a good start with their bullpen, which we didn't talk about, but Carlos Estevez, Lucas Erceg, Hunter Harvey, those guys down in the back end, they're strong at shortening the game and handing it over to them to close it out. If they can just play consistently, they can get back to the playoffs, and that's what everybody believes, and they believe they can get over the hump, and that's what they want to be this year in 2025.
No doubt it's going to be an exciting year if you follow the Kansas City Royals. Jalen Thompson from the Kansas City Star joining us. Jalen, appreciate you taking the time, my man. Enjoy the nice weather out there and enjoy some nice Royals baseball here as we get closer and closer to opening day.
Thank you so much, Logan. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to talk to you again. It's going to be fun.
Yes, sir, it will be again. Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. Couple more hours on the way here on After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero. There is a push, pun intended, being placed right now in the National Football League about banning the tush push. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.